It's good to see everyone out on this beautiful Sunday evening. We had a good service this morning. We need to be praying for the visitors that we've had coming. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for this congregation, for the Lord's work, for the lost that are out there, that we'd have the right spirit working together, focusing on saving those that are lost. And when we do that, God will bless us, and we will be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. For a few minutes this evening, I want us to talk about forgiveness. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. This quote is attributed to several different people. It's interesting who gets credit on different things. It really doesn't matter. But we understand this. We will see this a little bit more. I wanted to use this quote before we get into the Bible. But there are so many things that we must understand about forgiveness in our own life. And if we don't understand forgiveness, our life is going to be crippled. It's going to be handicapped. We aren't going to be living the type of life that we should. If you have any questions about the lesson, feel free to ask me after the service. What I want to do this evening, instead of looking at a lot of definitions, we are going to do a lot of reading, so please open your Bibles. And I want us to consider, what does forgiveness look like? What does forgiveness look like? This is a picture of forgiveness here. And in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise and flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" One of the places you have the most conflict and tension is in the family. Sometimes the second place, unfortunately, is in the church. The two go kind of hand in hand. But we see with Jacob and Esau, Esau hated Jacob. We know the story of what led up to that. All the things that transpired in their life. But these two go from wanting to kill and being afraid of their life to being reunited. And when we get to Genesis chapter 33, "Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among them, among Leah and Rachel and the two maidservants, and he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times till he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, 'Who are these with you?' So he said, 'The children whom God has graciously given to your servant.' Then the maidservants came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children. They bowed down afterward. Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. Then Esau said, 'What do you mean by all this company which I met?' And he said, "These are to find favor in your sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And Jacob and Esau, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I have seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that it brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. So be urged," and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before you." Friends, if Jacob and Esau can be reconciled together, we can be reconciled with anybody that we are at odds with. We must have a willing heart. What does forgiveness look like? Well, let's turn to, in Genesis, go a little bit farther. And in Genesis chapter 37, we come to Joseph. Genesis 37 and verse 12. Then his brothers sent to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to them, "Here I am." Then he said, "Please go and see, is it well with your brothers and well with the flocks? And bring back word to me." So he sent them out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. We know the story, how he goes. He finds them. His brothers want to kill him. His brothers throw him in a pit. Along came some traders, some Ishmaelites. They sell them. They sell Joseph to them. He's taken down to Egypt. Again, through a series of things that transpire, he ends up thrown into prison. And you've got to wonder what's going through Joseph's mind this whole time, knowing that his brothers hated him. He grew up in one of the most dysfunctional families you can imagine, with his father's different wives, all of his brothers. His brothers had an evil reputation. Their father said, "You make my name stink among the people." They had problems within their family. And Joseph is in this faraway land, and his brothers end up going down there to see Joseph. And Joseph was in charge of giving grain during the famine. And they don't know who Joseph is when they meet him. In chapter 45 of Genesis, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out for me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." And he goes on talking about the famine. And again, we see forgiveness displayed in the life of Joseph and his brothers. We get to chapter 50 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. And we'll start at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will still hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you.' Now please forgive the trespass of your servants of God, of your father. And Joseph went, wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about that as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Just looking at these two examples, something that comes to mind is, friends, we need to be careful that we have a heart. We have a heart that is willing to forgive others, willing to forgive others even if they haven't asked for forgiveness. We need to have a tender heart. We need to have a heart that does not become hard and calloused and think it's my way or the highway and I've done no wrong. Friends, we've got to have a heart like Joseph, and he forgave his brothers who betrayed him. Well, what does forgiveness look like? Let's turn to Psalm 51. We have the account where David asked for God's forgiveness for his adultery with Bathsheba. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. We've looked at Psalm 51 in depth in previous lessons, but David asked for God's forgiveness for his adultery with Bathsheba. David was a broken man. He knew that he had sinned. The king of Israel, when we were traveling, there's this one shop that we usually stop at, and they have a lot of tracts and religious information there, and I always try to pick up some of it just to see what they have to say about different things. And one of the tracts I picked up was the sin of Bathsheba, and it talked about she should not have put herself in a position like that where some man could look on her, and it went in talking about women today. David didn't blame anybody else for what he did. And he was responsible for so many things, and he paid for it dearly with the rest of his life, the things that he suffered. But he prayed, he asked God for forgiveness. When we sin, do we have the heart that David had? We need to be humble. What does forgiveness look like? Well, let's turn to the New Testament. Let's turn to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, we have the account of a sinful woman that's forgiven. In chapter 7, verse 36, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Behold, a woman in the city who is a sinner. She knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house and brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Jesus goes on, or Luke records the account of this. Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say on. And he gives him the story of a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 100 denarii, the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, but you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman was not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. And you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. This woman, a known sinner, yet Christ held her up as an example. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. So I've got many sins. How about you? Does anybody else here have many sins? Do we want to be forgiven? Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Why? Because she loved much. She sought after Christ. She wanted to make amends for her life. She wanted to do what was right. And she was going to be forgiven. What does forgiveness look like? Let's turn in Luke over to chapter 15. Another familiar story. In Luke chapter 15, we have the account of the prodigal son. He wants to leave his father. Certain rich man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So this young man goes out. He lives a life of sin. He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to the father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on him. And the father, we see, had a heart of forgiveness. The other brother, though, did not. So in verse 26, so he called one of the servants and asked him what these things mean. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as for this son of yours, he came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Is it not right that we should make merry and be glad? For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. As I said earlier, some of the hardest places for forgiveness are in the family. A husband and wife, one thinks that the other has done something wrong, maybe not think has done something wrong. A parent, a child, something is wrong, they become estranged. Two brothers hold a grudge. Two sisters, any way you want to draw that line in the family. We see so many families destroyed because they aren't willing to forgive. They aren't willing to forgive. He arose, he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Friends, if the father could forgive his son for running off and wasting his inheritance and riotous living and with harlots, if the father could forgive him, why couldn't the brother forgive him? His heart wasn't right. He was a stubborn individual, thinking, self-righteous, thinking, I'm better than my brother. I'm better. I know more than he does. This is what forgiveness looks like when the father forgave his son. What does forgiveness look like? Let's turn over to Acts 18. And we have the account of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Acts 18 and verse 9. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Let's stop and look at that. We've got to be careful. We've got to ask ourselves, do I fit into this parable? Do I trust in myself that I'm righteous? Do I trust in myself that I'm righteous and I despise others because they don't think the way I do? He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He begged for mercy. The Pharisee failed to see his own need for forgiveness. Friends, I pray that all of us would live each day not looking down on people, but realizing I have sinned. I need to worry about God forgiving me. I need to have the right kind of heart before I start being like this Pharisee saying what's wrong with this tax collector. What does forgiveness look like? Let's turn to John chapter 8. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, Early in the morning, he came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and they set her in the midst. And they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what do you say? You know, Moses said we should do this to her. What do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin, let him throw a stone at her first. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, Jesus did not condemn a woman caught in adultery. Did he condone the adultery? Of course he didn't. But they were using her to try to trap him, to test him. They had not brought the one that she was in the very act with. Where are these accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We've got to be careful that we aren't afraid to condemn people because of something that they've done or not done, or they're different. What does forgiveness look like? Let's turn over to Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. You think about Jesus Christ on the cross after he had gone through the Roman punishment where they did everything possible to beat and torture him short of killing him. And then he had to carry his cross to where he was going to be crucified, and he wasn't strong enough to carry his cross, so someone, Simon, carried it for him. He's suspended on this cross between earth and heaven. These soldiers are here. Everyone is shouting at him. And what does Jesus say? Does he say, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get even with you. You just wait. You just wait. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes people worry so much about what other people do. Forgive them, they know not what they do. Sometimes people do things and they aren't aware of what they were doing. Those Roman soldiers probably thought they were doing the right thing. Jesus understood that sometimes people do things in ignorance. What, no matter what the reason, what they were doing was wrong. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And again, back to that quote at the beginning, when we forgive others, that sets the prisoner free, and that prisoner is me, because as long as we harbor something against somebody else, we are controlled by them. I don't like the phrase, and I can't think of it right now, but someone lives rent-free in your mind. They're in your head all the time because you have something against them or they have something against you. Forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know any better. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life, I'm not going to put it on hold because of somebody else. I've got things to do. God wants me to be a worker. This person that said this to me or did that or got angry or acted ugly, forgive them. Forgive them. If Jesus can, we can. We haven't been nailed on a cross. We haven't come close to anything like that being done to us. But we carry a grudge. You'll see people, and you hear stories of people in churches haven't talked to one another for years, years and years and years. They see the person coming, they go the other way. I've told this story. It's an old Restoration era story. There is a church there is a split in the church. They both stayed in the building and they agreed to have different meeting times. And this was years ago, and they heated the building with coal. And down in the basement, they had two coal piles. One would use their one coal and the other one would use the other coal. It was a small town and everybody heard what was going on, and somebody put a sign out in front of the building: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, two coal piles. The community got it. Those people don't get along with each other. They're hypocrites. They don't have love for one another. They don't have patience for one another. They're hypocrites. People can see that. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What does forgiveness look like? John 13, 31 through 38. We have the account of after Christ is resurrected. I'm going to go on to John 21. He said to them the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" So Peter denied Christ three times. And the rooster crowed. Christ looked at Peter, and I'm sure when Peter saw Christ looking at him, he had a cold chill run through his body. Here in John 21, when Christ is with his disciples and Christ is asking Peter, "Do you love me?" He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus knew the heart of Peter. Jesus didn't have to ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus knew the pain that Peter was feeling for denying Christ. But all the disciples were going to deny him and leave him that night before he was crucified. Peter is singled out in the scriptures. "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You see, Jesus forgave Peter for denying him. He said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." What does Peter do? He preaches the sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter is a pillar in the church at Jerusalem. Peter becomes an elder in the church. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter denied Jesus three times. Have we done that? Again, if Jesus can forgive Peter, and Jesus was in the flesh, Jesus had feelings just like you and I have. Peter, he didn't say, "Peter, how could you do that to me? I warned you four different times that I was going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and be crucified. How could you deny me? I told you that I'm the Son of God. How could you do that?" Jesus didn't say that. Sometimes if somebody does us wrong, and nobody can do us wrong because it's not our laws that people are violating, it's God's laws. Somebody might lie to us, somebody might steal from us, and we like to hold that over their head. And, "Well, remember when you did this?" Friends, we've got to have a heart that forgives. What does forgiveness look like? Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we have the account of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is recounting the history of the Jews. Then the high priest said, Are these things so? And he said, Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And he said, Get out of the country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. So see, Stephen starts back with Abraham and the history of Abraham and all the prophecies about Christ, that he is going to come. He is going to be the Messiah. And at the climax of Stephen's speech, he says, And you crucified him. The Son of God came and you crucified him. They didn't like that, so what did they do? They stoned him. They stoned him to death. And in Acts 7, verse 60, Stephen, who's being stoned to death, he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I have to ask myself, if I was Stephen, would I have been able to say that? Being stoned to death. But he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Why do you think he said that? Why do you think others said basically the same thing? They understood that sin is not against me or you. Sin is against God. And we've all sinned. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And the converse of that, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Whatever anybody has done to us, we must forgive them. We ought to want to forgive them. We ought to want to have a heart like Christ, have a heart like the Father when His Son returned, have a heart like everyone else that willingly, they didn't hesitate. When the prodigal son came back, the father didn't say, let me think about this. Now, what should I do? He didn't hesitate. He rejoiced that the son came back and he forgave them. Friends, if we do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Friends, is there anybody here that has sinned? That has sin? Friends, if we want to get into heaven, we have got to forgive those that have sinned against us. We've got to have that heart. We've got to be peacemakers to the point that we can. And I believe when Jesus was saying, blessed are the peacemakers, that was talking about people that are at odds with God and making peace where they are reunited with God, but that also extends to forgiveness. Hey, so-and-so, I noticed you haven't talked to this brother for so long. What's going on? You know, is this right? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then sometimes you hear people say, well, I'm going to forgive him. I'm not going to forget it. Or I'm going to forgive him, but that doesn't mean I have to talk to him. Friends, we have to have a heart like these men that we looked at. Christ and Stephen and all of these others, we've got to have a heart like that or we are not going to make it to heaven. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs prayers, needs to make confession, you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.